We bid you welcome again, express appreciation for your being here. We say it often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It really is good to get together. There is an outline on the back of the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, ask my brethren many times to look around. Maybe someone came in and did not receive a bulletin. So if you'd like to follow along, it's on the back of the bulletin. The title of the lesson from our text that was read this morning, I'll talk about being ready, readiness. And not many times the Bible uses that word, and so we'll look at several of those times that the Bible uses it. The expressions we use in our life use that word ready too. We ask somebody, are you ready?
Yeah.
Or we say, is it ready yet? Might be something in preparation. Is it ready? Are we sometimes ready or not? You know, here I come. We say in football, it's ready. My kids, ready, set, hike. There's ready whipped cream. Ready whip. But ready is found a lot of times in our life, just in common living. But the Bible says something about being ready too. By definition, means a state of fitness for action. If you're ready, you're prepared. You're set. I'm available right now. I'm ready. If I'm ready, I have the ability to respond right now. I'm ready. You know, we sometimes say to people, you know, call me. I'm ready to come to your aid if need be. I'm ready. In our song books that we had before this one, there was a song that we had with Ready to Suffer. And I just remember years ago, my father-in-law had passed away about 15 years ago. One of my precious memories. He was leading singing during that worship assembly. And he, before he sang this song, he addressed the audience and he said, now before Brian brings us the lesson, let's stand and sing, ready to suffer. Thank you, Daryl. But the song has a good lesson. It's always with the word ready. The song said, ready to suffer grief or pain, ready to stand the test, ready to stay at home or send others if he sees best. Ready to go, prepared to bear, ready to watch and pray, ready to stand aside and give till he shall clear the way. Ready to speak, alert to warn, ready his way to learn, ready in life, no fear in death, ready for his return. The chorus, ready to go, or ready to stay, ready my place to fill, ready for service, lowly or great, ready to do his will. This readiness. Well, that's our lesson this morning. We even have another song in our book, number 604. The song says, I want to be ready to meet him. I want to be ready. Ready. And that's the attitude. So let's take each of these in turn, as long as time permits. Number one, from our text that was read to us, in Matthew 24, verse 44, therefore be ye also ready. Be ready. Jesus said, for in such an hour as you think not. Wow. I wonder if Jesus is going to come again. Been quite a while since this verse was written. But Jesus said, For in such an hour that you don't think about, the Son of Man comes. He'll come. And I put in your notes, in our lesson text, Jesus gave three examples for our consideration. First one in verse 36. Jesus said, that day and hour, nobody knows. Nope. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And here's the example. As they were in the days of Noah, and he describes it. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus said, prefaced all of these things, therefore be ye also ready. The second illustration, verse 43. He said, know this. Something I need to put in my mind. If the goodman of the house had known in what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched. Now, if I knew what time a thief was going to come to my house, I would be ready with troops and a tank. I'd be ready. Be ready. So if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched. He wouldn't have allowed his house to be broken up. That's right. If I just had known. The third illustration that Jesus gives in verse 45. So then, or who then is the faithful and wise servant? All right, good question. Whom his Lord has made ruler over his household. All right. There's the ruler over the household, faithful and wise, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Be ready. Get ready. So Jesus makes that conclusion to his disciples after giving those illustrations. He says, watch, and you be ready. You be ready. Jesus, in his second coming, will come during normal course of events, and we're to watch. We'll be attending to business at hand. We just don't know. So Jesus is not coming to say, get ready. He says, be ready, because you don't know when he's coming. Readiness does not come accidentally. We say, I need to get ready. Someone says, let's go over here. I know I need to get ready. Let's attend this event. Oh, I need to prepare. Think about it this way. You didn't jump out of bed this morning and look the way you do now. Well, some of you do. but you got ready. Oh, I need to get ready to come to the assembly. Get ready. So that's the first one, because we just don't know. Readiness means we're going to prepare. Get ready. Another time the word ready is used in the Bible is in Luke 22, verse 33. And this is the words of Peter. He said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. There's this another song in our book that's titled, Where He Leads Me, I'll Follow. And sometimes I want to say at the end of the first phrase of that song, Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow. I want to say, really? Really? Where He Leads Me, I'll Follow? That's what Peter said. I'm ready. I'll go to prison with you, Lord, or to death. And I like the attitude. Jesus said in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, fear none of those things which you'll suffer. Behold, the devil will cast some of you into prison, those followers of Jesus, that you may be tried. You'll have tribulation, but be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. I need to be ready to be Christian, even if it's going to cost me my life. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Dennis mentioned a verse in our class this morning. It's in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 4. The Hebrew writer said, "You haven't yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And Orby mentioned in his prayer, and quite often others do too, that right now in America, we haven't experienced that. We haven't had to resist unto blood. We haven't been tried to that end. However, you know, we read about missionaries and others experiencing prison and death. When Steve Worley, our missionary that we support, attends here and gives a lesson or update, many times he describes that possibility in the region where he's preaching. And he's built the compound or built his house and built the school there and other things with a forethought of safety in mind. Against rebels coming in or someone wanting to advance themselves and overtake the compound. And we've read about others in different areas, especially in the Sudan right now in the news. Rebels are overtaking religious groups that they don't agree with. We pray, as Orby said in our prayer this morning, we pray, thank you, God, that we can meet, and the phrase is unmolested, or that we can meet without threat. I remember that phrase from my youth. And so Paul admonishes Timothy, pray for our leaders, pray for all those who are in authority here and in our world, that they make decisions that will lead for us to live a peaceful and tranquil life. So we pray for our leadership. But yet the Peter's attitude was, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'll go with you, Lord, to prison and to death. Wow. Get ready. Get ready. A third time the word ready is used in the Bible is in Acts 21, verse 13. Paul answered those who were concerned about his safety, the Apostle Paul. And so he says to them, why are you weeping and why are you breaking my heart? I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. I'm ready. And when he would not be persuaded, he was going to Jerusalem. They said, oh, Paul, with tears in her eyes, don't go. He says, and when they would not be persuaded, they ceased. And they said, the will of the Lord be done. So even at the advice of his physician, meaning Luke, who was with him, and contrary to the insistence of the friends, Paul determined to go to Jerusalem, believing that it was God's will for him to go. And as he went, he made his affirmation, or this resolution was made in the strength of the Lord. And on that occasion, in going to Jerusalem, Paul did not die, but yet he was told, you'll die, but it'll be in Rome. In our life and living for Jesus, one day, not right now yet, it may cost us our physical life. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies, oh God, have mercy. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Right now I can do that. But one day it may be literally a physical sacrifice. But by the mercies of God, we can present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our service, our reasonable service. One translation uses the word our spiritual service. So Paul said, why are you crying? I'm ready not only to be bound, but to die in Jerusalem. A fourth time, the word is used, this time by Paul again in Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Paul said, so much as in me is, all right, in other words, the best of my ability, the will of the Lord be done. Now, this is what I'm going to do. This is my confidence. This is my assurance. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. Well, Paul, you know you're going to die there. He's not there yet, but he writes a letter to the brethren. I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. Wow. I'm ready. Paul is saying the best news that mankind could hear was the gospel of Christ. And even if where I go, I die, I'm going to preach that good news message. You see, back in verse 14 of that same text in Romans chapter 1, he said, I'm a debtor. In other words, though indebted, well, because of what God has done for him, he says, I can't hoard it. I can't keep it to myself. I feel a debt that I owe to preach that good news to others. I consider myself a debtor. And the way that I can repay that debt is to preach a good news message to others. So that's why he said in verse 15, I'm ready to preach and preach it to all. Because in verse 16, it's the power of God and the salvation. The message I'm bringing is not a man-made device. Nothing else will do but the gospel. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm ready to preach to you in Rome. The gospel, the power of God to salvation. I'm ready. And so you and I should be eager to present the gospel message, knowing that it provides to our world of people something that they cannot provide for themselves. And it's something that all mankind needs, a message of salvation. So Paul, when he preaches to, or writes a letter to Timothy, he says, Timothy, preach the word. In season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Because the time is going to come when they'll not endure sound doctrine. People won't like what you're preaching. They don't want to hear exactly what God says. So, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers. Yeah. Having itching ears, they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. So Paul says, you know what I'm ready to do? I'm ready to preach the gospel in Rome. The power of God unto salvation. Not a man-made message. Number five. In Titus chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, put them in mind, to Titus, to be ready to every good work. That's ample encouragement for us to engage in good work. Put them in mind to be ready. Be ready. Be ready to do it yourself. You don't need to wait for an assembly. You don't need to wait for a committee to be formed. It's a good work. It's a good work. Be ready to every good work. And all of us living daily will have opportunities to involve ourselves in good works. It could be a community service. It could be a volunteer situation. You could offer a ride to someone. You could give encouraging words. There's all kinds of good works to be ready. To be ready. Galatians 6, verse 10, Paul says, as we have opportunity, let's do good to all. Let's do good. Get ready. Be ready. But especially, do good especially to those of the household of faith. And one like unto it is number 6 in your notes in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18. Paul says, you know what I'd like for you to do? I want you to do good, that you be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Ready? Yeah. Ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Do good, rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Get ready. Get ready. We'll be called upon. I want you to be ready. Be a ready Christian. I want to be ready. Then the last one, number 7. Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready. Be ready. Always. To give an answer to every man or person that asks of you the reason of hope that lies within you. You ready? You give an answer. But first he says this. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. In other words, be sure you've set Jesus apart in your life in Christian living. Be sure that you have that conviction and are doing it. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Being ready always. When I sanctify Christ as Lord in my heart, I'm ready. I'm ready. He says, get ready to answer everyone that asks of you the reason for your hope. Get ready. Be ready to present your faith in a reasonable manner to someone who inquires. And then he says, do it with meekness, gentleness. Now give the substance of your faith and do it in a manner that's not harsh or arrogant. Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you the reason for your hope that lies within. And then it says, with meekness and fear. And I think about that anytime that the gospel is presented. I want to do it with a reverence toward God. I want to say what I need to say with meekness and fear. In fear, knowing that we're also subject to temptations, but also in fear because I want to present the gospel correctly. I want to present it persuasively. So I want to do it in fear. God, I want to do it according to your will and your way. In gentleness, speak the truth in love. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. So be ready. Be ready. You don't necessarily have to give chapter and verse. But you can certainly tell someone what you did to become a Christian. You can think about what's the reason for your hope. Just answer it in words, in your own words. Sanctify them in your hearts. And be ready always to give an answer to him that asks you a reason for the hope that lies within you. An answer with meekness and fear. And you can do that. You don't have to be a preacher. You just express your faith, the substance of your hope, to one another, to someone else. So opportunities abound to be ready. I've given you 7 illustrations from the Bible. So just as you have an opportunity now to become a Christian, if you're ready, if you're ready, if you've heard the good news, Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? So if you've heard, if in your readiness, oh, wait a minute, I've heard the good news of John 3:16, that God so loved the world, he gave his son. I've heard that good news message. And then I want to believe it. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 11, verse 6, he that comes to God must believe that he is, yeah, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. Jesus said it in John chapter 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. And I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe that good news message. And then I want to repent. Jesus said it in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. And then I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Jesus said that too. In Matthew chapter 28, the closing verses, he said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye, tells his disciples, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Mark records it in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. So that's the invitation, and that's the message we present at the close of every lesson. You're subject to it. If you're ready for that, just respond in a public way while we're singing this song. So let's stand together. Let's sing the song that Des has selected.
Let us pray.